Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Trista Crick is going to join us at 1:25. We'll talk to her about the Grizzlies draft, the rest of the NBA draft. But before we get to her, we've talked a lot about, you know, the Grizzlies. We've talked a lot about the University of Memphis piece. Josh Minot has vowed. Josh Minot's got a list of everybody in the league: LeBron, Giannis, Jimmy Butler, Ja, Kyrie Irving. Do we still have that? Yeah.
I don't know, bro. Normally I mince my words with the media, but I'm coming to kill everybody in the league, bro. Just plain and simple. Generally don't know what else to say. Like, I don't know. I've talked to you guys before. Like, I'm talking media in general. Just don't know what to say right now, bro. I'm coming for everybody.
Dude, might just sound calm
like,
down.
Might sound like Drake about to drop a verse.
Like,
he sounds just like Drake.
Who? Josh Minot?
I will say, like, you're coming to kill everybody in the league. Sir, you didn't kill everybody in the AAC. All right? So, respectfully. And I like Josh Minot.
I do, too. But what are we doing?
Like, and I do feel like, you know, every competitor has that sort of, like, I'm going to come out, I'm going to be better than everybody else, sure. You know? Yeah. Like, nobody's going into this draft thinking, you know, I suck. And I'm gonna,
no, I would tell you that I guarantee you Kennedy Chandler's got the same outlook right now that if you,
right.
You know,
sure.
You talk to him privately, he'd say the exact same thing.
Right.
That I'm going to prove it to the league and I'm going to kill everybody that they put in front of me. That and the kid, he voiced it, and I realized we're all sitting here and saying, you're mid-second round pick, you know? Calm down. You made it to the league. But that's the mentality of a lot of these guys that thought they were going to go higher than they did.
No, and I'm assuming that they put that camera in his face, like, right after it, right? So it's, like, he probably hasn't even had a chance to, like, think, you know? He's just, like, he's reacting. He was not happy about
it. Oh, depending upon what these guys' agents have told them.
Sure.
Could be really, really disappointing.
Yeah, that's true.
You know,
Good point, Jason.
I empathize, you know, quite a bit, you know, with the timing of that, probably. Just, like, boom, light in your face. You know, tell me what you think about, you know, disappointing your entire family lineage, you know, but I would have chosen some different words. Anyway, we've talked about that. Anything from elsewhere in the NBA draft? Whose draft? What choice did you really like?
Well, Detroit's is up there. We've touched on that, though. But I think it's worth underlining again just what they've done, the cap space they've created, where they're going. We like the destination, and, well, we like what it's setting up to be.
Yep.
And you like the fact that Jalen Duren is going to be a part of it. I'm trying to think. I like that Orlando went against the conventional thinking.
Yeah.
Because I'm with you that I thought of the three guys, Paolo, to me, seems like the best one. I'm not just saying that. Because, you know, you believe it so strongly, you're tied to that side anyway. I really believe Paolo Banchero is not just the prospect that's best suited right now to give you something, but I think down the road as well. I really do. And so I thought Orlando was smart to go that direction. I'm trying to think of team drafts that I liked. Detroit's was at the top for me.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to argue that.
I mean, I guess the Rockets. Right? For a second straight year?
Yeah. I mean, you know, Jabari, you know, and
the kid, they got Ty-Ty. They got that kid from LSU.
Tari.
That's a slasher or whatever.
Ty-Ty went late.
Yep, he did. Tari Eason is who you're talking about.
Yes, that's him.
People like him a lot.
Yeah.
17.
Yeah, people like him for his defensive ability.
So it's three guys. They're just so young.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have to, what their biggest challenge is going to be making all that young talent like coalesce, right?
They literally just they traded Wood. It's all it is young guys.
And they got locker room problems, right? A bunch of young guys. Like they're just gonna have somebody's gonna have to emerge, you know. And that I guess Eric Gordon's still there, right? Or did he get traded last night? He's still there, right?
I think.
So Eric Gordon's kind of your bet there. I mean, but that's tough.
What about the Kings not taking Ivy?
Yeah, I mean, look.
Going with Keegan Murray at number four instead. Any problems with that?
I mean, they have De'Aaron Fox, which I guess is, you know, the rationale there. But I think Jaden Ivey was the best player at that spot, you know? And I do think that's one where
Keegan and Sabonis not bump heads a little bit?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's the same problem, right?
Of, yeah. Like, combo forward kind of guy.
You know, you could draft Jaden Ivey and then you could trade De'Aaron Fox, right? If that doesn't end up working. So, like, that to me was – that was another botched draft pick by the Sacramento Kings. It just was. Because – and also, like, I mean, the reports were that they just loved Keegan Murray. They just loved, you know
– he's a good player.
But I would have considered, you know, trading back. I mean, you could have traded back probably.
My thing is, Keegan as good as he's going to be? Is he kind of already at his ceiling?
He's That'd a be my solid thing. Player. You may not like my opinion on
but,
this.
But
one,
is he a franchise changer like we think Jaden possibly could have been? That's what I'd ask you.
I guess I have decided that Jaden isn't Ja Morant like everybody seems to think he is.
Sure, that's fair.
You know.
Well, I you know that gets put on him because he's like this electric guard with the ball in his hands and can dunk. You know. But he's not Ja. Definitely not.
That was the comp from everybody, including ESPN last night. They had the they literally did 2 minutes of Ja Morant highlights when he got picked.
Back to John's point, though, even when I asked that question to Rashad yesterday, I said, "Is he more Ja, more Dwayne?" It was almost like, "Don't put him in the same sense."
Different comp.
Like we know they're athletic.
Yeah, like Yoda almost hung up the phone on you, man.
Which I thought was strange because, again, everyone uses that same Ja comp. Hey, just go ahead and say he's not like him.
Right? No, I do.
But he doesn't buy into it at all.
Jaden is more of a two. I mean, he just is, to me.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Who did he compare him to? Because he didn't go Wade or Ja. I thought he said somebody else. I can't remember right now.
Yeah, he did, you know. It was impressive that Yoda called
him. Did he say Westbrook?
No.
He didn't go that far, did he?
I don't think so.
I can't remember exactly. There's so many different comps. But
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I thought that was baffling, and I do think like you're gonna look up and the Detroit Pistons are gonna be kicking ass with Jaden Ivey, and I mean, if you're a Detroit fan, like you got to be through the freaking roof.
Again, yeah, that's nice. I put them at the top of my winners list. A lot of people think my Bulls got a steal in Dalen Terry, that kid at number 18, the kid out of Arizona. He can't shoot though, can he?
I think he can. He's
I thought that's the big question mark. Everything I've read about Dalen Terry is his
can't
shooting
shoot?
is the question mark. But they think he's going to be good.
I'll
on
give
both
you the
ends.
Guy that I really liked and the pick that I really liked in the first round.
I'd say Minnesota had a pretty good draw.
The Spurs getting Sohan. I know they reached for him a little bit there at nine, but that dude is going to be a really, really good NBA player. Pretty much does everything.
Terry averaged 3.9 assists. He shot 50% from the field, 36% from three.
Well, solid enough.
Not terrible from three.
It's fine. Yeah, he's an athlete.
Serviceable for sure. I like Mark Williams at with the Hornets. You know, I think that's exactly what they needed, right? They can finally move on from, Mayo, whatever the hell his name is, the Plumlee brother. They can move on from him. Yeah. So
not important. Remember his first name.
Yeah, was one of the Plumlees, and he stinks. He can't do anything offensively. So now you have Mark Williams, who I like. So yeah, I mean, I think. You know, those are the ones that that jumped out at me in terms of the first round. Like, we'll see on – I haven't seen Jovic, so I have no thought on him with the Miami Heat, although that's a good situation, right? He can take time and develop. You know, and I think that's kind of like the – in terms of the picks that I like, those – I mean, and look, all of this on some level is just a complete, you know, especially when you get in the second round, it's a total – crapshoot. It's a total.
Now, what did you and you and Mike think of Bancaro's fit? I know y'all were at the Taylor together telling Bancaro that looked good.
Well, you didn't like it? What was wrong with it?
That little raspberry beret stuff?
Yeah.
No, bro.
That was a fit for first overall pick.
Ridiculous.
It's a different world. What, those rhinestones or what on the suit?
I didn't pick up on that. I didn't know exactly what they. I saw them, but I didn't know what they were.
What are you talking about? You didn't pick up. You helped pick it out.
My role with Lyft is not that.
You said you have a paid role with them.
Yeah, but it ain't that.
as Taylor.
Yeah, it ain't the Taylor. So,
in all seriousness, every single top pick had like gas on the neck, man. Like,
oh yeah,
heavy,
that's the thing now.
Heavy gas.
I think you know, Jaws a trendsetter. Not that he's the only one wearing jewelry, but when you see him loaded up,
nothing less than a 200 spot.
It feels like Ja got it from Lil Baby.
It's
right?
Heavy.
Like, yep. There are, you know, and, yeah, and now it's the thing, though.
Did
now
you guys see Chet Holmgren's?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think any of that jewelry costs more than your Taurus, though.
Oh, I think we're talking.
It's not worth as much as your Taurus.
That means I'm valuing that metaphor because I'm valuing that damn Taurus too high. It ain't worth $200,000.
Also, I thought the best part of this was Jaden Ivey couldn't talk.
Right.
I loved that
reaction.
He
was so emotional.
No question.
But his mom, who former Grizzlies
stoic.
Coach, now Notre Dame, Nielle Ivey. Yeah, I'm going to make sure I pronounce her because she deserves
fantastic
that
last
first
night.
Name pronounced correct. She was the picture of poise.
Yes.
As she watched her little boy be this emotional about this day.
Yep.
And she just, man, she was beaming and so grateful to God and everything else for that night. But she had kept her composure in a way that I would have been sitting there crying too. And mom would have been the strong one in that one probably too. I was blown away by her poise.
Yeah, because the word is that you be shedding a tear when CJ goes one of three and scoring 2 points and wins.
I don't cry. We just work. Now again, I don't cry. I don't cry when CJ scores.
Was I the only man who was trying to figure out the reference to Dad, because I had never seen Dad before and I Googled him, and because I was so interested in that relationship because they're no longer together. You know, never hear about him. He wasn't part of raising the Ivy kid,
yeah,
right? And that's the part of the last name, right? Dad was like a football player at Notre Dame,
yeah,
right? Had a lick in the NFL in the sixth round. And I was like, wow, Dad is put together, I mean. But he was there as well. But Nielle was the...
You'd see him as a kid around her teams when she was playing.
And yeah, great footage.
And essentially those women that she played with, her teammates helped her raise him. And he was just around, you know, obviously with his mom, was just around basketball coming up. Imagine that. Imagine dreaming about this your entire life and it happening, coming to fruition. You don't care that you end up being, what, 5? You probably like it, right? Mm-hmm. The fact that you're not going to Sacramento. Mm-hmm. I think that's probably a good thing. It's probably one of the reasons why he's crying so much.
They wanted Detroit.
I'm not going to Sacramento. No, it's a great deal with where Detroit is right now. I love what they're doing, and I love that moment with Jaden Ivey next to his mom there.
Yeah, that was a great. And I think Chiney had a great line. She said, that's not weak, that's work.
Yes.
That's what that is.
Wow.
You know, that's not
who said that? Shanae?
Shanae.
Wow, yeah. That's a great line.
Ogwumike, I think that's her name.
Ogwumike, yeah.
She said, you know, that's not weakness. That's years and years of work culminating with that.
Oh,
with
it's
that
probably moment. Just overwhelming. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, no, I mean, it was, you know, I go back to, you know, when I found out that I was going to be the University of Memphis' first ever Emerging Journalist Award winner.
Oh, man, that was a long time ago.
It was.
Yeah.
Because that's when I was in school.
And so you're going to tell us that you shed a tear.
It wasn't weak, it was work. You know what I'm saying? Like, I had to do the story about the student attendance declining at Memphis. You know, I had to make those calls, bro. I had to, you know, stay late night in the FedEx Forum, you know, the bowels of FedEx Forum, getting those quotes.
That was back then when you were going places.
And now I'm stuck in neutral, huh?
Well, you're right here with me.
What a damn disaster this has turned out to be.
Well, if you keep doing this great job you're doing for Lyft, we're going to be able to get you somewhere else pretty
soon. Hey, all I'm saying is that everybody thought he was going number 2 or 3, and the guy ended up going number 1. You know, so that was, I will say, like, that there has to be, because Paolo did not work out for the Orlando Magic, right?
Yeah, but he made it clear he did everything else, though. Like, he said that in his interview afterwards, that no, because she asked him, he said, no, I didn't work out, but I did everything else in terms of the interviews with them.
Yeah.
It wasn't like there was no communication whatsoever.
And it's fair. Look, these guys have tape. These guys have tape on, you know, they have, you know, 35 games on top of high school career that Paolo Banchero has been in the spotlight. But, you know, it is interesting the way it all unfolded. They wanted him to work out. They asked him 5 times to work out.
Well, I like the insight you gave us, though, that Mike and those guys, they didn't believe him. They didn't believe him. You used that. Okay,
now
we don't think you're serious. Show us how serious you are.
Right.
Well, they tell you and asking you 5 times.
Yes, there was some.
Give you some indication.
Absolutely.
Old gamesmanship there.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it does kind of go back to, like, you know, hey, when that chick you're chasing, you know, she won't give you the time of day. You just kind of want it more, right? Like, you kind of become more intrigued by it.
Yeah.
You know, I think there was definitely a sales job. I think there is a, you know, a lot of people think, oh, if you're an elite player, you're just an elite player. No, there actually is, like, you do have to do some sales work on the margins to convince, like, If a team like Orlando, which had did not, everybody thought they made their mind up, right? They didn't. So when you have a team that sort of could go Jabari, could go Paolo, like, you've got to make a case, right? You've got to say, hey, this is why you should draft my guy over that guy. And look, you're telling me that, you know, to have a guy like Mike, who was a former player and in that franchise, even that could have very well been the difference, you know? Like,
yeah,
it's coming from him as opposed to, you know, some dude from XL, some random suit. You
know? Grizzlies don't strike me like Orlando does as a franchise, John, that would do what Orlando did. I think the Grizzlies wouldn't have drafted him first if he would have not. If they had that first pick, for example, the Grizzlies, like with Morant, they got to work out Morant.
Right.
Okay? They didn't get Zion because Zion was going number one.
Right.
I think the Grizzlies would have done this differently if it instead versus what Orlando did.
Now, I know it was a different front office, but Jaren did not give them his medicals, though, correct? Or did he end up doing it?
I can't remember if he ended up doing it or not. I just remember that being the story there for a while because it was all about, are you trying to stay away from the Grizzlies?
That was the Wallace regime, so right. They were a different philosophy.
Yeah.
They'd draft whatever.
Jaren refused to work out with the Grizzlies, and he did not provide his medicals. And they still, and yes, it was a different front office, so it's hard to say exactly.
I don't think they'd do that again.
But it worked out, right? I mean, it worked out. Jaren Jackson has proven to be a really good player. And again, what are you seeing in a workout, right, that you haven't already seen after 25, 30, 35 games of tape at the college level or whatever, European level? Like, you've seen, you know who the player is. It's just a matter of do your coaches get some hands-on stuff. So, anyway, busy night, crazy night in the NBA. We'll come back. We'll talk about it all with Trista Crick on the other side. Jason and John, 90.9 FM.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
ESPN. Her name is Trista Crick. She's a friend of the show. Catch her on BetMGM tonight on Odyssey. Listen to her on the Heat Check podcast. She joins us now. Trista, what it do?
What it do, baby?
So before we get into the draft and players and fits and the Grizzlies, I want to start with the chaos leading up to the number one pick. You know, Adrian Wojnarowski tweeted yesterday morning that basically the order, the top three, was increasingly firm of Jabari Smith, Chet Holmgren, and Paolo Banchero. And as you know, the markets went crazy. Paolo had, at that moment, been the favorite, and then by the time the odds got put back onto most books, Jabari had been installed as a huge favorite. All of this leading up to, of course, 5 minutes before the draft, he then tweets that looks like it's going to be Paolo. The manipulation of the markets here by an insider who clearly was wrong. What can be done? What should be done? Should something be done as it relates to betting on things like picks in a draft?
I think it shows us that, you know, when gambling is more and more legalized, state by state. And, you know, we rely on guys like Woj to provide us information, you know, and they there's fallibility there because teams aren't telling Woj the truth. I imagine that's why, because Orlando hid what they were planning to do, and all signs showed that they weren't interested in Paolo because they didn't work him out, that, you know, we have to kind of hedge, and we need to probably moving forward in the future middle, and there's probably going to be some crackdown on people like Woj, and it's going to be very interesting to see this. So we know Woj and Shams are coming to the end of their contracts, right? Mm. And they're rumored to go and be at least be, you know, courted or recruited or, you know, poached, whatever you want to call it, by gambling companies. Imagine if Woj did what he did, but he worked for PointsBet.
Well, that, see,
what do you think happens then?
I mean, there's that is like really close to, I mean, right? Like that there's got to be some regulation. Because that clearly, look, I, if you're a cynical type, you know.
Yeah.
Like
I thought to myself, John, that I honestly was like, well, what if Woj thought it that knew it was Paolo?
Exactly.
Decided to wait and tip the markets in the other direction to make Paolo a big dog again and to double back, because people from VSiN were putting $35,000, $50,000, $75,000 on Paolo at 22-1.
Yep. What if? And again, I don't know, but it does the most cynical part of me. Like, what if Woj was like to his buddies, "Hey, watch this. Like, I'm about to flip the market on its head." And look, it's not like he's, you know, gonna get fired for that tweet. He, like, it was wrong, but it's not like there's not gonna be any accountability for him with it. So there's really, he doesn't have anything to lose. And like, who's to say that Woj couldn't have taken advantage of that himself? Like, these
facts,
are the,
absolute facts.
These are the
and
things that I worry
Woj
about.
Remember Woj was the one poo-pooing live betting and was like,
yes,
fans are gonna scream at their at players in the arena if they don't hit their points prop in the first quarter
over the
or
Kyrie
whatever.
Thing, and, yes.
Yeah, and I was like, first and foremost, that leads me to believe that Woj probably doesn't bet, because, like, first quarter props on points, you know, in terms of legally, you're not getting, like, Kyrie's over-under points in the first quarter. So it kind of showed me his naivete. But, you know, you gotta, if you're a guy like Woj or you're a guy like Shams and you're in the information business, you need to now be 100% up to speed on the gambling side of things, because you influence it.
What'd you think of the pick itself, Trista? Orlando getting Bankero's?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, does this make them finally relevant, Orlando?
To me, I always thought Paolo was the best pick in the draft, or the most, like, NBA ready. And it happened because I wasn't, like, super, super high on Paolo most of the year, just because when you saw him on TV, the difference in size between him and the rest of the guys, I guess there's just really, like, a lack of depth perception on a screen. So you just really can't tell how big Paolo is. And I saw him live in Brooklyn for the ACC tournament, and I saw him warm up for, like, 6 minutes. And I was like, yeah. And then I saw him in the game live against Miami. And you could tell that anytime he was near the ball, good things happened, whether that was rebounding, whether that was his elite passing, whether that was his ability to jab step and go ISO on guys with his just incredible athleticism, strength, speed, all that Euro steps, footwork, whatever, mid-range. He doesn't get up off the ground very high, even when he shoots threes, but he shoots threes pretty well. So for me, he's like a monster. The body and his skill and his character, you saw in that Miami game, he was the one leading the huddles as well, creating his own little team huddle. So, yeah, I love Paolo. And truthfully, I always was like, why would Orlando want to take Jabari over Chet or Paolo? Because it honestly felt like Chet felt like the best fit for what those talent evaluators want, because they were the guys that took Giannis, you know, long, skinny, room to grow, kind of a unicorn, feels like Chet. But, you know, Paolo seems like that was their guy the entire time, and they told absolutely no one. Probably the least Orlando thing we've ever seen. Mm-hmm. Like, Orlando would be the team that would leak out exactly what they were going to do.
Yeah, he didn't. The crazy part is that he didn't even work out for him.
Right.
He didn't even work out
for him.
It
was like when Minnesota drafted Randy Moss.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and it's one of those things where I had heard leading up to, you know, the way these things go is I had heard leading up to, you know, Thursday night that, you know, at the beginning of the process, Orlando was asking Paolo to come work out. And Paolo's representative said, why would we waste our time? Because everybody thinks you're taking Jabari Smith or Chet Holmgren. Like, nobody has us linked to you guys, so we're going to abstain. We are not going to work out for you guys. And they came back again, same answer. They came back a third time, same answer. They came back a fourth time, same answer. And they came back on Monday and said, will you guys please work out for us? And that's when it started to get real. If you're coming back for a fifth time, right, then it clearly shows your mind is not made up. But Paolo never worked out, which to me is like, it goes to show you the conviction that they had in him, that they were willing to take the guy completely sight unseen, which also leads into the craziness of the betting markets that, you know, Paolo became the favorite despite the Orlando Magic never seeing him in person.
Yeah, man. And I thought, because there was a lot of chatter about Houston moving up to take Paolo, and he was their guy. Obviously, they moved Christian Wood because of Paolo, not because of Jabari, and to clear the way for Paolo. And I was like, why would they move up to get Paolo when Paolo is going to be there for them at a three?
Exactly.
And something must have scared off Houston or scared them into thinking that they should move up. And probably Orlando was like, no, we're good.
Yeah, it was a crazy night, no doubt about it. We're talking to Trista Crick here on the show, catch her on BetMGM tonight, Heat Check podcast. All right, on to the Grizzlies. They drafted a bunch of dudes, and that's just kind of what they have done, with the exception there of Ja Morant, which was an obvious pick at number two. But they draft these guys who are, you know, older, and there's not as much, you know, name brand power, but they more often than not end up being pretty good NBA players. What did you make of what the Grizzlies did last night?
I thought it was aggressive, and I like that. You know, I've been very clear to – there's people that are Golden State fans and people who are fans of other teams that think I am like a Memphis Grizzly fan because of how much I say, you know, nice things about this franchise. Just, I think, one of the smartest franchises at not only creating an identity for what they want to do, and then drafting and developing and signing guys based on that same mentality and that same brand of basketball. And I think what they ended up doing, and I'm very curious about the Kennedy Chandler pick. Not to say I don't like it. I'm just curious about it. And they got him late, so we'll have to see. And John Morant loves the pick. But to me, he's probably like the least one that I think fits into the brand, just because he's not necessarily the best defender. He's a little undersized. I'm curious about how he's going to – he's not necessarily like a Tyus Jones that had the highest assist-to-turnover ratio in the league. I think there's a possibility that, you know, the Grizz lose Tyus to free agency because he wants to start. So maybe that's what they're trying to do. But I absolutely loved the Jake LaRavia pick. That is – and the Roddy pick. You're talking about guys who are tough, guys that can shoot, guys that can play defense, guys that are grit and grind, you know, just very tough guys that will fit in and want to play a role and know that they're not the star. When you come into John Morant's team, there's no delusions or expectations or wishes that you're going to surpass this man in terms of being the guy on this team. So I think that they did even things that make my head scratch. I just believe in what Kleiman does for this organization.
Yeah, I think you got to give them at least the benefit of the doubt at this point with as much as with what they've hit on so far. Which team's draft did you like the best, Trista, overall?
I think Detroit did a hell of a job.
Heck yeah.
Right? You're talking about didn't know that Jaden Ivey was going to be there. You knew they sort of wanted him kind of close to the draft. You thought maybe they would trade with Sacramento to make sure that they got four. But Troy Weaver said this the day of the lottery, and it just stuck in my mind in a way where I was like, huh. He said, I don't really, because they thought that they, you know, Detroit was going to get a top three pick or whatever. And they asked Troy about, you know, whether he was disappointed that he got the five spot. And he was like, no, the guy I want, I know, is going to be there for us at five. And I was like, really? You just know that? And it seems like he's playing chess and he's multiple steps in front of everyone else. And I imagine that there was some coordination and conversation with Jaden Ivey, given his connections to Detroit. His dad played, or his grandfather, I believe, played for the Lions. I think his dad played for the Shockers. He mentioned that after he was selected, that he probably told Troy Weaver, like, I told Sacramento, don't draft me. I'm not going there. I don't want to be there. And so Troy kind of felt like he knew what he wanted to do and knew that that option was going to be there for him, which is why he didn't trade with Sacramento. And then figuring out and maneuvering a three-team deal to get Jalen Duren,
yep,
the most athletic big in the draft. I like Mark Williams a little bit more just in terms of what I think he can be, mm-hmm, but Jalen Duren's a hell of a talent. He's the reason that Memphis won as many games as they did and why they ended up excelling in the tournament. And so if he's there for you, go and get him. And so I think they just did a phenomenal job at really solidifying pieces, but also getting rid of Jeremy Grant,
yes,
and opening up a cap space in order to create even more spots for, you know, veteran role players to build around Cade and Jaden Ivey. What a hell of a backcourt those two are, and a front court presence, a rim protector in Jalen Duren now to go alongside Isaiah Stewart and to go alongside Sadiq Bey. That team is fun.
Yeah, I'm with you.
We all saw the graphic last night in terms of, you know, the Kings lottery picks. They draft Marvin Bagley. Luka Doncic goes the very next pick. They draft Thomas Robinson in 2012. Damian Lillard goes the very next pick. They draft Jimmer Fredette number 10. Klay Thompson goes number 11. So they have a pretty damn good history of missing. Is that going to be? Are we going to be saying the same thing about Keegan Murray and Jaden Ivey?
Such a curious and interesting question. I don't understand why. So for me, and I'd like to know what you guys think, to me, Keegan Murray's absolute upside, I think that the ceiling is even maybe too high because I don't think he's nearly the level of an athlete that this guy is. I think Keegan Murray's absolute dream scenario is to be as skilled athletically and as versatile, maybe obviously a better decision maker, but I see his complete ceiling as Kyle Kuzma. Mm-hmm. And if that's the ceiling, then Kyle Kuzma was there for you. You could have traded for 10 and Kuz. Probably would have to make the salary work in some way with a piece. And then you have a guy that can come in, step in right away and be that. Maybe you don't like Kuz's decision-making, whatever. But then you still have the 10, and you can go out and get a Jalen Duren. You can go out and get a Mark Williams to protect the rim. And maybe Sabonis doesn't want to play alongside another big because he's done that with Miles Turner. He didn't like it. But let's be honest, Sabonis doesn't play defense. So you still need somebody to be there to rim protect for you. So I thought what they did was very strange. I actually predicted that they would get Keegan Murray as soon as they got the four spot. I was like, we just know that's what's going to happen, don't
yep,
we? Like, we just know that it's Keegan Murray. And, you know, the chatter of them trading back or the chatter of them maybe taking Ivy despite him not wanting to go there, like, they just do Kings things. And now we know for sure, because it's like the guy who, or the girl who dates the guy, and, you know, the next girlfriend that the guy has after her, they always marry. Like, that's what it is for the next team after the Kings. Like, they find a franchise player right after the Kings select someone who will be slightly underwhelming. And now, like, Tyrese Halliburton, he was a great pickup. You know, you've got Davion Mitchell. We'll see what he is. You know, De'Aaron Fox, he's been kind of up and down at times. But the Kings in general don't have a track record of making great decisions.
Oh, got to ask you, Kyrie Irving, should anybody want him anymore at this point?
It feels like no. I mean, he's such a talent. He's one of those guys, I make another dating analogy, where it's like on paper, great. When you go out with them, awesome. Like, you have an amazing time. You're like, man, why aren't you married by now? How come nobody's locked you down? And then, like, then they go like 2 weeks without texting you,
mm-hmm,
and like the bubbles go green, and then like 6 weeks later they're like, what's up, how have you been? And you're like, I thought we were like dating. Are we not dating? And he's just like, oh yeah, no, I've been busy. I've been, you know, doing this activism stuff. Like, that's Kyrie. Like, when, if Kyrie was 100% committed to basketball, he would be like a top 10 player in the league. But you can't trust when he's going to be there and when he's not going to be there. And even Kevin Durant on his podcast today, the et ceteras, was like, I'm not going to get involved in what Kyrie needs to do for his own future. I can't even think about it. It's his livelihood, and whatever happens, happens. So it's going to be interesting. A lot of chatter. But as a Portland Trailblazer fan, I'm curious what you guys thought about our pick on Shaedon Sharpe.
Well, how can I possibly have any opinion of him?
Right. What have we seen?
Right.
That's the question, right?
I mean, I don't know. Like, I want to tell you, like, oh, but I haven't seen this guy, you know, play. Mm-hmm. So it's like,
let me ask you this: tough. If Coach Cal, if you're a talent evaluator and you're a GM, and Coach Cal, you get on the phone with him, and he's like, listen, don't sleep on this kid. This kid would be a number one pick in 2023 if he played. And I know, I've seen him. I've had four of them of my own. You're going to be kicking yourself if you don't take him. Would you believe Coach Cal? Would you take Shaedon? What would you do?
I mean, Coach Cal is going to do what it benefits Coach Cal. So it benefits him. Of course he's going to gas Shaedon up. You know, he's going to gas him up because that just, hey, he was, even though he didn't play, you know, he was still around. He was still around Kentucky culture. You know, so I just it's always tough. Like, I get, you know, we lived this in Memphis when Chris Wallace was the GM. Like, this was like the perfect kind of player he would go after, the guy that didn't do anything in college but was awesome in high school. And it's just, you know, it's impossible to predict that transition. It's a lot. It's a lot to ask of him, you know, and he's stepping into a sort of a rebuild deal there too.
Especially since you're talking about the Blazers organization that says that they want to build a contender around Dame ASAP. So I don't know what that means. And if he's a two guard and you got Anfernee Simons, then what does that mean for Anfernee Simons and or Shaedon Sharpe and how much playing time they're going to get?
I love Anfernee Simons. Like, I was watching him a lot on League Pass last year before you guys decided to throw it in. Like, I love him. So I need that kid to get as much playing, because I think he could be, you know, I think he could be really, really good and could be the face of your franchise when that day comes. You know, when
his offensive tools are elite, and you know, you just wonder, does he want to be a point guard? Like, what does that mean for Dame? There's just a lot of questions. I do love the Jeremy Grant trade. I hope that they end up getting somebody else to step in. But I tell you what, Summer League, Memphis Summer League, Portland Summer League.
Now we've already got the title
Detroit
wrapped up.
Summer League. Yeah. Are you guys going?
Oh, I'll be there.
Our man's going to be there.
Oh, what? Courtside. I'll be there, too.
Hey!
I'll be there, too. Oh, yo, we got to link up.
How about that?
Yes,
we'll have to arrange something here so we can watch the Grizzlies take home that. You know, that's what we do. The Grizzlies take home Summer League champion.
They're going to have a hell of a Summer League
champion. Not sure if you're familiar with the tradition around here. But
I don't know if you know, but Portland's got a couple of their own, too.
Okay, so we're gonna go at it here. I like it. Well, we'll definitely have to get together and watch this thing. It'll be fun. Trista,
thank you so much.
Appreciate you as always. Thank you. Yep, talk to you soon. She is Trista Crick. Catch her on BetMGM tonight. Heat Check Podcast. Great stuff from her as always. Yeah, I mean, look, there's so many teams that are going to have intriguing Summer League teams, though. You know,
nobody's got the beef to deal with us up front with Roddy and Big Lofton.
Well, Kenneth Lofton lost some weight, bro.
He's still beefy as it gets.
Yeah.
You're not going to push him around.
Detroit, whew. That's going to be a
no, because I don't think you play Cade. He's watching.
No, but you still got Jaden Ivey and Jalen Duren.
Yeah. I'm not worried about that inside.
All of a sudden, he's not worried about it, he says. Jalen Duren trash. Wow.
No, they don't have Cade. They don't have Cade with them.
Quick, won't you?
Yeah, I like what Detroit's doing, but
so Kennedy's starting.
Bay and Cunningham ain't gonna be out there.
Kennedy's starting point guard, right?
Yeah, but you know Zaire's gonna play a lot at the point too.
Okay,
I think frankly that's probably more of a priority, making sure he gets all of the looks at every position you want to see him at.
Yep. Well,
but then Kennedy there and gonna play a lot of minutes there.
It'll be a fun time.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.